You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in on a Tuesday with flurries in the air. Jim and Trent, we say hello to you in the capital city on the Big Talker 1700. A terrific show lined up today. Alex Halstead, 24-7 Cyclone Alert, will be our guest at roughly 4:20. And then at about 4:40, Ryan Fagan, college basketball. He also does Major League Baseball as well with Sporting News. He will be our guest at 5 o'clock. It is the Hawkeye Huddle. How you hanging in there, pal? You ready to go today?
Oh, absolutely, Jimmy B. Back at it. And get back from Florida, flurries in the air. What a beautiful, beautiful place to live. Absolutely.
That's great, isn't it?
I love our fine state here, but there are times that I just shake my head after coming back from 78 degrees and beautiful, picturesque skies to what we're dealing with here on March 20th. Welcome to Iowa, right?
Well, yes, it is, really. Let's kind of jump into this, what's taking place with the Hawks right now. And I know that Kirk Ferentz met the media today for spring football. We'll get to that in a moment. The big news is basketball. Let's start first with Brady Ellingson. No real surprise that he's going to transfer, right?
No, not at all. I think this has been the one that has been speculated about the most. And this goes all the way back before the season even began, when Fran was talking about his team during media day. He had mentioned that Brady Ellingson is a senior, and he is. He redshirted his first year. He had a foot injury and sat out during that season. He's a redshirt junior in terms of eligibility, but he completed his 4 years, or will complete his fourth year. He is set to graduate in May, and he's going to move on and find a place that he can play. He's a Wisconsin kid. You know, you can see him ending up at UW-Milwaukee, UW-Green Bay, something like that, playing, you know, down a level there, or even, you know, going to even a smaller school and going that route. It's certainly an opportunity for him to get more minutes, play closer to home, or just find a fit for him. Kid that much maligned throughout his career, never developed the way that I think some people hope for. You know, reminds me a lot of Josh Oglesby, who kind of was that sharpshooter that came into Iowa before, a lot of expectations for him, and it never quite materialized. And same thing here with Brady Ellingson. You know, Ellingson is a kid that had a couple of great performances. You go back to last season when Iowa was making the run in the second half of the Big Ten, and they're knocking off teams, and as we know, at the end, all the way came and a game away from being an NCAA tournament team. You remember when Peter Jack sat out those two games, when Iowa looked really, really good in both those games. And I think that's what led us to think this season this team was going to be so good, because they did it without Peter Jack a year ago. And he figured, well, same thing's going to happen here. Ellingson was a big part of that. Had like 16 points against Ohio State. Played incredibly well in that game. And that was the thought process. All right, this is what this guy is going to be able to do. Never materialized. He was miscast multiple times as the backup point guard after the transfer of Christian Williams, with the injuries and the illness to Connor McCaffrey. That's what happened. He was put in a difficult spot and just never was able to kind of play maybe the game that was expected. I think in the right situation, I understand when Fran was recruiting him what he was looking for and what he saw in him, but it just never materialized. The consistency never was there for Brady Ellingson.
I'm with you on the consistency factor. Look, one night he'd go out and he looked sensational, and then 3 to 4 next nights he was dreadful. And you can't have that on a major college scene. It just doesn't work. I think he got brutalized on social media a lot because of that. And I don't know. I don't think that was really a factor in why he wants to get out. But I can't say, you know, I mean, I really can't say that, you know, he used that as a factor. I think you're right. I think he wants to play. And I think he wants to be a full-time starter. I'm sure he's going to find a landing spot. And from that aspect of it, I wish the kid well. It never fit. It was uncomfortable to watch at times, Trent. I mean, you and I would have conversations after we watched Iowa play, and we'd go, man, he just couldn't throw it in the ocean. And then 3 nights later, he's banging threes and taking the ball to the hole. So the inconsistency part, I think, really is what did him in more than anything.
And you look throughout his career, he shot it well from three-point range. especially during his junior season. 47% from three a year ago. This year, he went from playing 14 minutes, though, during the campaign a year ago to this year. Minutes dwindled, went down to 11, and he also battled some injuries. Shooting went down a little bit with it. He was down to 39%. Still good enough, but the writing was on the wall of this one. Of all the rumors that are out there, Jim, and I have heard basically every player on the Iowa basketball roster, short of Nicholas Bear. That is the one that I have not heard, but in one fashion or the other, talking to a multitude of people over in Iowa City, I've heard all other names on this roster in some capacity moving on for transfer. Obviously, Tyler Cook with his name already in the NBA ring. And I think the one that was also speculated about as well as the one that just came out right before we took the air, and Ahmad Wagner will be moving on. Ahmad Wagner, a guy that Jimmy B, I absolutely loved. When I saw him early in his career, his combination of athleticism, ability to finish at the rim, a good defensive player, I thought Ahmad Wagner was going to turn into just one of those tough guy, bulldog power forwards that you could plug in there. He could play a multitude of positions, and he was going to help out in a big way. And much like Brady Ellingson, it just, he never took that next step. He never got to that level. Played well as a sophomore, not so much last season as a junior. Now, he's not looking to move on, though, to go on and play back home in Ohio, you know, go to Central Michigan, go to Ohio U and play for the Bobcats. No, he's going to move on, and he's looking to play football, Jimmy B. 6'7", good athlete. Can he catch? That'll be a question, but he played one season of high school football in Ohio, helped lead his team to the state title game, and got offers from Kentucky, the SEC. I mean, this is a guy that was an accomplished football player, only playing it for one season. Now he's got plenty of time to evaluate what he's going to do. Could it be in Iowa City? Will it be another place? We'll see. Not going to be on the hardwood, though. He's going to turn his attention over for his final year of eligibility over to the football side of things. That's pretty intriguing.
I find it very, very interesting. Look, the kid is a gifted athlete. We've had that conversation in the past. And look, maybe I can remember there's a certain tight end, Trent, who is now a perennial all-pro in the NFL, who plays for the Los Angeles Chargers. He never played football in college. He was a dynamite basketball player at Kent State. Never played football in college. And so then, after that, he felt that since only being about 6'5", his game wouldn't transfer over into the NFL. So he went back to basketball, from basketball back to football. And look what has happened. Guys can do this. Who's the quarterback? I'm blanking on his name at Ohio State that switched to wide receiver. Come on, Jim. Oh, what's his name?
At any rate, Terrell Pryor?
Yeah, him, and then the other guy just recently that went to wide receiver. Remember, he hurt his shoulder?
Braxton Miller?
Braxton Miller, thank you. Braxton Miller, yeah. Look, guys are gifted athletically. And I don't know if that's going to translate for Ahmad Wagner or not, but it's not like we haven't seen this happen in recent years. We have.
Well, and you mentioned Antonio Gates. He's obviously not the only one. Vincent Jackson, a very talented wide receiver. He was a basketball player in college. He played at Northern Colorado. Right. Jimmy Graham, obviously.
Jimmy Graham.
Julius Peppers. Martellus Bennett.
Yes.
There are a long, long list of guys that have gone through this and have turned into be guys that have played at the next level. Not only that, he's going to have a year to figure things out. A lot of these guys went straight from playing basketball, like you mentioned Gates, and going right in and trying to figure out how to play football. He's going to have a year to figure that out. So going to be intriguing to see, is it wide receiver? Is it tight end? You know, what's going to work for him? But that is what he is going to do. It doesn't say in the release if it is going to be absolutely looking at other schools. I'm going to read this for you and just get your takeaway from this. All right, this is the release from Ahmad Wagner. Quote, I have had discussions with my family and the coaching staff and ultimately decided to leave the Hawkeye basketball program and end my collegiate basketball career so I can finish my college eligibility playing football. Doesn't say at a different school. Doesn't say anything like that. But That's going to be the difficult part here. Go back. Remember when was it Kelvin Bell, the Iowa assistant coach, that tweeted at him back last year? We're waiting for you over on the football side of things.
I believe it was. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He says, "Hey, if you don't want to come play football for me."
Right. Right.
I remember that. We had a couple of days of discussions about that and how we thought he might translate with shoulder pads on and playing for the Hawks on the football field. This is going to be interesting to see where he ends up. And, you know, he's, like I said, he's a gifted athlete, just didn't work for him on the basketball court. And maybe it translates then on the football field. Look, you get that aggression, you get to go smack somebody around and catch the football. So he's got great hands. We know that. He can catch the basketball. He's going to be able to catch the football.
Well, do
he
we,
can run.
Do we know that,
he
though?
Can jump. Well, I think that transfers over. Yeah, I think that transfers. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think I've watched LeBron James and Kevin Durant in the off season work out on the football field, and these guys are flying and just catching everything. One hand, two hands.
Well, yeah.
It didn't matter to those guys.
That's running out there, running a route with nobody guarding
yes.
you. That's completely different than a football game.
Yes.
And I wouldn't exactly say Ahmad Wagner is known for his hands on the basketball.
No,
floor.
I'm not gonna put him in that category, obviously. But I'm just saying that yes, if you have good hands and you can hang on to the basketball and snag it, there's really no reason why you can't hang on to the football.
We'll see.
You're not buying that?
Not quite.
You're not buying
that. I'm not quite ready to go down that road. I'm not sure how it's going to translate. It's different. It's different at the high school level. I mean, a wide Wagner in
sure.
high school, think of a 6'7 wide receiver. I mean,
yes.
playing up against other high school kids, it's just going to be a complete mismatch. Now we're talking about going up against collegiate defensive backs. That is different, much, much different.
What if that collegiate defensive back is 6'1 and he's 6'7 and 230?
Can he get open?
Well, that's what we're going to find out.
Right.
I mean, look how much success Iowa State had throwing the ball up in the air to Alan Lazard at 6'5". So
Alan Lazard had played football since he was 5 years old.
I get that. But obviously Wagner had played because he did play a year in high school and he was on the championship team. So in order to be on the field, he had to be good, right?
You would think so. Yes, yes. You would think so.
But okay. Yes.
He hasn't played in 4 years, though. He hasn't played.
I know.
It's a different level. It's just not a slam dunk, is what I'm saying, Jimmy B.
I'm fair with that. Yes, that's correct.
And
yes,
a lot of people thought that might be the case. So we have this going on, Jimmy, and you couple that now with what's happening with the roster. Tyler Cook, you know, he has until June before he has to make an official decision. Unless he signs with an agent, he can take this all the way up. I believe June 11th is the day. But Iowa welcomes in two freshmen next season. They only had one senior. That was Dom Ewell. So there was still, you know, some question marks. Does Connor McCaffrey, does he become a scholarship player next season? Remember, he was a walk-on this year.
Right.
Fran McCaffrey,
right.
During that contract extension that they didn't want to announce back in November, he did get a little bump in salary, remember. He thinks, and it was right around what what it costs to go to school. And is that a part of it? Probably there.
Interesting.
Does Iowa now, what do they do with this roster? And let's say, just for argument's sake, that this is it. And we'll say Tyler Cook is gone. He is going to sign with an agent. He'll play in the G League. He'll play in Europe, whatever it turns out to be. But he has moved on. This is your roster. You have the incoming freshman, C.J. Frederick from Kentucky, and obviously Joe Weiskamp from here in the state. You have a sophomore class of Luca Garza and Jack Nungy. You have then a junior class, Bo Hannon, Isaiah Moss, and Macy Daly, along with Kreener. And then the seniors that'll be on the team, Nicholas Bear will be a senior next season. And that will be it out of the class with Ellingson and Wagner moving on. So you have a scholarship to play with. There's been so many people that say, Iowa needs a point guard. They need a point guard in the worst way. That is the least of their concerns. Do they need a good defender in the backcourt? I'd agree with that. I don't think point guard, though, is what you're shooting for. on the top of your wish list, Jimmy B, what does this team need? If they're looking for a grad transfer, a JUCO player, whatever it may be, somebody, though, that can step in and help right away, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for a guy who can defend. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, and it doesn't matter if he's a guard or a guy who can help out as a rim-type protector in the middle if he's 6'7", 6'8", and isn't afraid to drop off of his man and get to the middle if somebody's penetrating, getting down the lane like, ole, with the defense that Iowa played this past season. So I'm not concerned if it's a guard or a forward. What I am concerned about, Trent, is if they find somebody like that who can play defense at a different level, will the rest of the players follow suit? Look, I don't expect everybody to be a hound defensively. It's impossible to do that. But I do expect players to at least give effort when they try to play defense. Or I expect the coaches to draw up some defensive patterns so that they can cover once in a while for deficiencies on a player defensively. And Iowa did none of that this past season. None. So for me, they've got scoring. We know they can score.
Mm-hmm.
They have to find somebody who can be on the floor, not be a detriment in scoring. In other words, he's not out there jacking three-pointers every time they come down. But a guy that you can say, okay, we're going to put you on their best forward scoring player, or we're going to put you on their best scoring guard. Now just go work your tail off.
Find a guy a 6'5", thick body, just tough guy.
A guy
that's not going to back down. You know what? If he needs to guard a power forward, he will. And if he needs to guard a two guard, he will. And he can do everything. Now, those guys aren't exactly a dime a dozen. Those are difficult guys to find, Jim. If you can find a guy like that, I'm with you. I think more than all the other things that are talked about, getting that and getting some guy that's going to come in. I think character is also going to be a big part of this, Jim. I really do. Getting somebody that isn't going to take, like you mentioned, the Ole defense, and he's going to grab a guy by the collar and say, that's not how you play defense. You're a D1 athlete. Grow up. Go out there and show some intestinal fortitude and actually clamp down defensively. Watching these teams in the NCAA tournament, they have those guys, and they buy in, and they go out there, and they compete, and they defend. Having somebody that's going to come in and also bring that to it, is it going to be difficult to find? It absolutely is. That's why Fran McCaffrey got a contract extension. Got to figure it out. Has to happen. More Hawkeye talk coming up here on the 5 o'clock hour with the Hawkeye Huddle. Next, though, we're talking Cyclones. Alex Halstead from CycloneAlert.com. He'll stop by. We'll talk spring football getting ready to start up. Last week, Jacoby Long announced he was moving on from Iowa State. What's the Cyclones going to do with that? Open scholarship and a whole lot more. Alex Halstead joins us next.
Afternoons, we talk sports on 1700 with Jimmy B and TC, Des Moines' savviest sports duo on The Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Guys, Trent Condon here again for New Leaf Wellness. Warm weather is going to be here before you know it, and if you added some pounds during the winter, New Leaf Wellness can help you. Great treatment programs designed specifically for you. I'm on the GAC and MIC. It has helped me not just lose weight with my energy level, no more lulls in the afternoon. Give them a call today. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation. 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358. Let's feel better together with New Leaf Wellness Centers.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Sponsored by Serta, it's the Serta Spring Into Comfort sales event. Don't settle for comfortable. Get Serta comfortable and save big today. Visit Archer Home Center in Adel. or CertaRetailers.com.
Ice, snow, sleet. You deserve a reward for suffering through another Iowa winter. And you'll find that reward in a Manitou pontoon boat from Malone Motorsports in Monroe. Yeah, it's not boating season now, but it is the perfect time to get ready for it. Your winter will be easier knowing you have a new Manitou Performance pontoon from Malone Motorsports waiting for you this spring. Manitou's new patented V-Tune technology makes these pontoon boats move like no other. It's one of the reasons Manitou is the only pontoon manufacturer to earn the honor of being a USA Water Ski endorsed water sports boat. It's not a question of whether or not you can pull a skier, but how many skiers do you want to pull? Manitou, the first company ever to crush the competition, sweeping all three categories in the Mecaner pontoon barrel races. See these amazing Manitou pontoons for yourself at Malone Motorsports. Malone Motorsports, just minutes east of Des Moines in Monroe. Online, MaloneMotorsports.net, or call 888-MALONES. That's 888-MALONES.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Texas Roadhouse will be hosting their annual luncheon benefiting Special Olympics Iowa on Thursday, April the 5th at participating locations throughout the state. Come anytime between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. to join Special Olympics for a free lunch served by local law enforcement. The organization and officers just ask that you make a donation to Special Olympics when you stop in. Lunch includes pulled pork, a side roll, and a choice of tea, pop, or water. Texas Roadhouse is a longtime partner of Special Olympics Iowa. All donations made during the luncheon will go to support athletes with intellectual disabilities in Iowa. Participating locations include Ames, Urbandale, Cedar Rapids, Cedar Falls, Coralville, Davenport, Sioux City, Council Bluffs, and Dubuque. Bring the entire family for a tasty meal and great atmosphere, all in support of Special Olympics Iowa.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa, featuring Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines or online, washersystems.com.
Well, it's that time of year again, tax time. Not all tax firms are the same. Hi, this is Mike Hammond, owner of Advantage Financial and Tax Services, located in West Des Moines. Not only am I a tax pro, but a certified financial planner as well. We can discuss tax savings ideas and financial services when we meet. We are not a chain and offer local and personalized service. Give us a try. Visit AdvantageIowa.com or call 440-1133. Advantage Financial and Tax Services.
This is Jimmy B and TC on Des Moines' big station for sports, 1700 KBGG.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. Trent and I take you up till 5 o'clock. It's the Hawkeye Huddle then with the guys from 5 until 6 right here on the Big Talker 1700. Right now, we're going to switch our attention, however, to the Iowa State Cyclones. Alex Halstead, 24/7 Cyclone Alert, joins us here on 1700. Hi, Alex, and let's start first with one transfer already gone from the basketball team. Do you expect any more, or is that about it for Iowa State?
That should be it, you know, for Iowa State. I think Jacoby Long is really the only one that was truly expected. Obviously, there could have been speculation about other guys. You know, Terrence Lewis, his playing time went up and down. But the way it ended those last couple weeks, I think he was, you know, pretty happy with the way things are headed and where things are going if he continues some of that progression into the offseason. I think, Cameron Lard, probably going to stay. You know, I don't think he's going to go pro or anything like that. And then you have Linda Wigginton, who could face an NBA-type decision. But I think, you know, we're a couple weeks past the season. I think that may have come by now. And even if he does test the waters, I think it would still result in him, you know, going to, you know, getting whatever feedback he can get and then returning to school. So I don't expect anything else. I mean, you never know in this day and age of college basketball how things kind of play out. But I think they should probably just lose Jacoby Long and have one scholarship to play with and kind of figure out what they want to do. There's different options they can go. And with a somewhat experienced team coming back in terms of probably not a lot of minutes to go around, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they go the sit-out transfer route rather than, say, a grad transfer or a high school player.
Yeah, you know, it's been almost an annual rite of passage every year, Alex, for Iowa State. And I know the fans over on the message boards over at CycloneAlert.com kind of, all right, here's the list of guys available, which ones make sense. But you get the sense that maybe they're going to stay away from that grad transfer route and a guy that could help out right away next season?
Yeah, because I think when you look at, you know, what they return, you got Linda Wigginton, Cameron Barr, Solomon Young coming back. They're all going to garner big minutes. You got Nick Babb, who will garner big minutes. And then, you know, Mario Shayak and Michael Jacobson come off their sit-out years. And then that's not to mention what you bring in. And, you know, guys like Talen Horton-Tucker and Zion Griffin are going to have to compete for minutes. But I think there's going to be some up for grabs between them. So, and I didn't even mention Zarian Talley there, who played really well in the last month or so when he became a starter. So I just think with what they bring back and what they bring in terms of guys who have been sitting out and Shayok and Jacobson, it's hard for me to see them going and getting a grad transfer. And I don't think it went as well as they wanted to last year. Plus, I think the grad transfer market can be so difficult anymore. You know, when Fred Hoiberg started doing it, it was kind of a new thing. You know, he was getting the top guys out there, and now it's so competitive. You're seeing, you know, some blue bloods go after transfers now. And so I think it's just a much more difficult pool, and I think the way the roster is constructed, it kind of makes some sense. Now, going back to, I guess, even the first question a little bit, there's been some speculation about, you know, what Nick Weiner-Babb might do and all those sorts of things. You know, as of now, he's back. You know, I don't see a grad transfer or anything like that, but he would be the one other name. I think people have thrown his name around, but I think that's mostly so far just been message board talk rather than anything concrete.
Does that have to deal with the injury that he sustained? I know, felt like there was maybe some frustration coming from his camp about just the way the end of the season went, something he was dealing with since the summer. Is that where maybe that speculation comes from?
Yeah, well, I think that, and I don't know. I said I don't know where the other speculation comes from. You know, that's probably where some of it arises from. I think the week before his spring break, he tweeted something about decisions, and people read into that if that was a decision about his future, or could have been a decision about what he was going to do on spring break. But that's kind of just what things. That's how things go. You know, people read into tweets and Snapchats anymore, and that's kind of how the whole Cameron Lard stuff started in season. Was he, you know, tweeted about maybe school not being right for him? So I think sometimes players tweet stuff and people read into the hidden messages, unfortunately, or whatever. That's just kind of how it is, and you have to kind of chase rumors around. But, you know, so far it looks like everyone's going to be back. But, you know, obviously, if someone else did leave and it was someone of significance, then maybe you start looking at the grad transfer. But if you're just looking at the one spot with Jacoby Long being gone, then I think it makes a lot more sense to go sit out, or maybe a high schooler if a high schooler made sense for them.
We're talking Iowa State Cyclones with Alex Halstead on Cyclone Alert right here on the Big Talker 1700. All right, take me to Shayok and Jacobson. Because they had to sit out, was there a time when you were on campus, say, taking in a practice or so, where you got a chance to watch both of those guys? And if you did, what can you tell us what you saw on Shayok and then Jacobson?
We didn't get to see much of them. You know, we don't really get to watch practices, but I did get it was about 2 hours before a couple different games, and those sit-out guys in years past and continue to this year, they would do a lot of pregame stuff with either the graduate assistants or an assistant coach. And so Shayok got to see a lot more in that setting, and I think we saw him, obviously, in the Cap City League, too. And a lot of times you can't take too much out of the Cap City League, but I think the one thing you could take out of it was just how athletic he is. You know, how much more athletic he was than pretty much anyone there. I think he just really stands out with some of the things he can do to get to the basket and some of those things. And I think you saw that too a little bit when you're just watching him work out a couple hours before the game with a coach, and you're not seeing much because he's not going against anybody. But I think his shot has improved, and that's the one thing that he wanted to focus on in the sit-out year was, you know, he's always been known as a guy that can get to the basket, that's athletic, and can do some of those things, but he wanted to improve that three-point shot, you know, to be able to have a little bit bigger role in this offense. And I think that has improved, and we'll find out, I guess, in the months ahead and leading into the next season, how much that's improved. And then Jacobson, I think Iowa State was even surprised by him. I think when they first got him, they obviously liked him, but they kind of liked him as this energy guy, you know, could come in, get some rebounds, play some defense. But it sounds like they've been a lot more impressed, I think, with his offensive game than they even expected. And so, you know, I think Shaq for sure will probably start next year. And then Jacobson, you know, it'll be interesting because I think you probably pencil in Cameron Bard at the five. And you got Solomon Young, who's a two-year starter. But, you know, with Jacobson right there, maybe those two battle. But either way, it gives you then three good forwards that I think they like. So those two guys, I think, will be difference makers. And I think, you know, Shaq for sure would be interesting because Prohm last summer, it was last August or so. So he had been on campus, you know, not too long. And, you know, Prohm was calling him potential all Big 12 type player. And he scored 11 points a game in Virginia's lower scoring offense. And so I think he's the type of guy that you could probably, you know, maybe expect 12, 15, 16 points from him if he is that go-to guy.
So with the one open scholarship we talked about, four freshmen also coming in for next season, take a stab at the starting lineup. If there isn't any more defections and we don't know who's coming in with that open scholarship, we'll keep that open as well. Take a stab. What do you think the starting lineup is going to look like?
Yeah, if I had a guess right now, and like you said, assuming nobody else leaves, I'd probably go, you know, Lindell Wigginton and Nick Wyver-Babb at the one and two, and then at the three, Merrill Shayok, and then the four would be, I'd probably go Solomon Young right now, and then at the five, Cameron Lard. But I think Solomon Young, not to say his job's in jeopardy, but I think he can play so many different roles for the team. You know, he can be that energy guy off the bench because a lot of what he does is more of the, you know, he's going to get some points, but it's gonna, a lot of what we see him do is on putbacks, and we did see him hit a little bit of mid-range stuff this year, but a lot of it's putbacks, defense, rebounding, you know, so it doesn't have to be in that starting role. So depending how good Michael Jacobson is, maybe he can find a way or what types of items they want to go because, you know, Shayok can play so many different positions. I think Babb, we know, can probably play the one through three, can play the four in a really small lineup. So There's so many different things they could do with that lineup. I would assume Duran Talley probably comes off the bench. And you know, the interesting thing, I think, will be with Babb. You know, I think he probably is a starter. I think he's obviously will be that senior guy, and Prohm's always leaned on his seniors. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do, you know, with him and Wigginton at that point guard position. I assume Wigginton will play a little bit more point guard with Babb at the two, but, you know, obviously those guys are interchangeable at times.
Having a great conversation right now with Alex Halstead. Okay, so here we are, and we're watching the March Madness, and God, it's just been wild. The first weekend was just crazy. Do you expect it to be as nutty, or do you think things will calm down now with what you've watched so far and the games that will be played starting Thursday?
Well, I think it would start to calm down a little bit. There have been a lot more, I guess, probably maybe similar amount of upsets, but some of the upsets have been crazy in the sense that, you know, it's one thing for Arizona, and I guess Virginia's not one thing to happen. It never happened, but it's one thing for some of those teams to get upset, but the way they've gotten upset, you know, Virginia and Arizona didn't just get beat. They got beat by, whatever, 20 points or whatever. So I think that's been kind of crazy. And, you know, sometimes I think the upsets are great on Thursday and Friday as they're happening, but then when you get to Saturday and Sunday, sometimes the upsets lead to not very good games, and we saw that too. I think, you know, a lot of those upsets that occur, it's kind of this one-game occurrence, and then they kind of go back down to reality, and that Marshall-West Virginia game was not good at all. The Kansas-UMBC game was probably kind of hard to watch, and, you know, sometimes those upsets, they're great when they happen, but then not so great. And so I think a lot of it will settle down that, you know, Loyola and Nevada will play each other, but other than that, it's, you know, Kansas State, Kentucky won't be probably a great game either. It's basically that region, but when you look elsewhere, it'll just be kind of interesting matchups that I think probably settles down and maybe starts to trend towards the favorites in those games.
All right, let's leave Kansas aside, the number one seed out of the Midwest region. The other three Big 12 teams.
Yeah.
I give you a crisp $100 bill, Alex Halstead. You can bet on one of the three remaining teams, West Virginia, Texas Tech, or K-State, to make it to the Final Four. Who would you be putting your money on?
Yeah, that's tough. I wouldn't go K-State. They'd be out for sure. And then, you know, West Virginia, I think, they're next to Kansas. They have the best odds. But the problem with both them and Texas Tech is I think it's going to be hard for either of them to get by Villanova. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, I might go Texas Tech because they wouldn't have to face him until later in that situation. But West Virginia, I think, just has the best shot, you know, but other than Kansas. But the tough thing is they got Villanova coming up. But they played really well against Marshall, but I don't know how great Marshall is or not. So it's going to be interesting. I think West Virginia, we talked about before the tournament, maybe they're an interesting team because they are, I think, a really good team. But sometimes they're so pinned down to their style that if they're not shooting well, they're kind of in the tournament, it can kind of do them in because they don't have a bunch of different things they can rely on. So that's going to be interesting. But Purdue and Texas Tech, I think, is interesting too, just because no Haas, and Texas Tech plays good defense that keeps them in games. But I'd probably go West Virginia, even though I don't think either probably would get by Villanova.
Nova seems to be the team now that most people are pointing to. Just by the way that the composition of that team is. And look, they had a couple of rough patches throughout the season, but once again, they have put it together and they're playing lights out basketball. I'm real curious, the Big 12 has to be pretty happy. I mean, aside from Oklahoma and Trae Young being out, but the Big 12 has to be ecstatic that they have that many teams now in the Sweet 16, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think when you're going into it, you're probably, I think I picked three Big 12 teams to advance with, you know, it being Kansas, Texas Tech, and West Virginia. You know, those three, I think, have the best roads. You know, Texas Tech or West Virginia was going to maybe have to play like a Wichita State type team. Obviously, that didn't happen, so that their road even got a little bit easier after the first few days of the tournament. But those three teams, I don't think anyone would have predicted Kansas State, because most people had Virginia going pretty far. So I think to get four in, and your two teams that got knocked out both lost in overtime, you know, Texas blew a 14-point lead, and Oklahoma still had chances late to beat Rhode Island. So I think just with the showing overall, not only, you know, getting four teams to the Sweet 16, I think that's beyond probably the expectations, but then also having competitive games even with the teams that got knocked out, they're probably, you know, very happy to get, you know, 40% of the league, you know, through to the Sweet 16. And probably maybe two of them could still even get to the Elite Eight potentially.
Well, out of time, Alex. Next time we will get a little deeper into spring football as it gets started tomorrow. Thanks as always for your time today.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Alex Halstead, CycloneAlert.com, part of 24/7 Sports, joining us here. We're due for a break. We'll come back on the other side. Ryan Fagan from the Sporting News. We're breaking down the brackets with him next. It's Jimmy B and TC.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, honey, I'm going to the chicken coop to watch the tournament.
Whoa, wait a minute. Our team didn't make the tournament.
Yeah, but, you know, my second favorite team did.
Oh, really? And who's that? Let me guess. You're in a pool again, aren't you?
A couple of them. Yeah, gotta go. Bye.
It's tournament time, baby. No need to flip channels to watch the game. The Chicken Coop has all the games from every network on every TV. The Chicken Coop. Serious about food. Serious about the tournament.
On March 31st, more than 300 riders on horseback from across the state of Iowa will deliver donations to Easter Seals Camp Sunnyside in Des Moines. In the 50-year history, the group has donated more than $10 million to support Easter Seals Iowa and Camp Sunnyside. The community is invited to welcome the riders into Camp Sunnyside at 3 p.m. on the 31st of March. Easter Seals Iowa provides exceptional service to ensure all people with disabilities or special needs and their families have equal opportunity to live, learn, work, and play in their communities. For more information on Easter Seals Iowa or on the Pony Express ride, visit www.easterseelsia.org.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at therookiesportscards.com.
Sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Firestone Complete Auto Care, keeping cars running newer, longer. Whatever you drive, Drive a Firestone.
Tonight's forecast, some light rain and snow showers early, otherwise mostly cloudy, low near 28. Becoming partly cloudy Wednesday, it'll be a better day overall with a high temperature near 49. I'm Local 5 Chief Meteorologist Brad Edwards.
The Capital One Saver Card presents the invention of the takeout container.
Ha! Huh, darling, I've done it. With this folded paper box, we can now easily take out food from a restaurant.
It's genius. So what do you fancy for supper?
I picked last time.
No, I picked last time.
There was a time when takeout was once the next big thing in food. Now it's the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 3% cash back on dining, 2% on groceries, and 1% on all other purchases.
What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank, USANA.
The Eagles, live in concert.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Performing over four decades of hits.
Take it to the limit.
Wells Fargo Arena, Monday, March 26th.
Life in the fast lane.
Get tickets now at HyVTix.com. The Eagles, Hotel California. The 40th Anniversary Deluxe Edition is available everywhere now. For more, check Eagles.com.
When you hear Washer Systems of Iowa, you think about pressure washers. The Washer Systems of Iowa does so much more. Industrial floor care equipment, waste oil heaters, water heaters, accessories and parts, washers, used equipment, along with repair, preventative maintenance, and operator training. Selling and servicing commercial cleanup equipment for 29 years, Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines or online, washersystems.com.
Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Swing and a miss. Slam dunk. Touchdown. Sports.
It's Jimmy B and TC.
Oh, yeah. The word you're looking for is wow.
Here's Jim and Trent.
Welcome back in. This is going to be a lot of fun. Look, we've had Ryan Fagan on the show in the past, Sporting News. He covers college hoop and also Major League Baseball when that really gets in full swing. But he's with us now with a bracket that looks probably as bad as both Trent and mine's. Ryan, how are you, pal, and have you recovered from the weekend? We're doing great, man. What does your bracket look like after the weekend?
You know what? I still have my championship game intact, and I, you know, considering all the stuff that's happened, I feel pretty good about that. I had Villanova beating Gonzaga, and they're still alive, so yeah, it's better than some people.
You're in good shape compared to a lot of people. Well, Ryan, we always love having you on, talking college basketball, talking baseball, whatever the season may be for you. But what are the main reasons I wanted to get you on? And for people, you can follow Ryan on Twitter. Every time you're at a region, it seems like there's a huge upset. You have a penchant for being at the right spot at the right time every year during March Madness. And, well, you got to see it again. It just, how crazy of an experience has it been, your years on the college basketball beat, and just all the upsets that you've been able to see?
It's pretty crazy. I'm not going to lie. I've even kind of given it, my friends and I have given it the nickname the Fagan Jinx, because it seems like, every, like you said, every time I go somewhere, something crazy happens. You know, I mean, I finally added up all the numbers and looked at the records, and I think it's teams seeded 11 through 15 are like 11 and 14 when I'm there. So, I mean, you're talking about teams that are double-digit seeds that have a good chance of winning when I'm there. And I wrote this, and I was like, I'm afraid I'm going to jinx the jinx, right? That didn't happen because I was there for Virginia. I was there for UMBC becoming the first 16 seed to ever win. Now, I've seen two 15 seeds win. I was there when Lehigh beat Duke, and I was there when Middle Tennessee beat Michigan State. And those were amazing, but it was nothing quite like what UMBC did. And not just that they won it, but the way they won that game was really just completely stunning.
Yeah, I mean, we've all envisioned a 16 beating a 1, and it was, oh, you go all the way back to Princeton almost beating Georgetown. You know, a tight right. game and you make a play late. Something goofy happens. You hit a buzzer beater, something like that. Not a 20-point whitewashing of it. Describe the building, if you can, for us. And just sitting there and as it's unfolding, obviously everybody not wearing orange and Yahoo colors can't be real pleased, but everybody getting behind them. And just how that second half went as you were in the building.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the fun things about watching the underdogs in person in March Madness, because you have everyone who's not directly related to a player on the favorite are wearing those colors, they're all excited, and everybody cheers for it. I remember when Lehigh beat Duke in 2012, North Carolina was in that pot in Greensboro, too, so you had every North Carolina fan going crazy for everything Lehigh did, so that was exciting. That was kind of the case here in Charlotte when everyone who wasn't a Virginia fan was going crazy for BC, and it was easy to do, too. It wasn't just that they were winning. It was the way they did it. You could see them playing with more confidence. They were the ones out there laughing and smiling and kind of going behind the back and doing whatever because they, when a team plays with absolute fearlessness, it is really something to watch and to experience. And the feeling in that arena at the Spectrum Center here in Charlotte, I mean, it really was just crazy. I mean, everybody, us media types and the fans are kind of sitting there thinking, is this really happening? Are we really seeing this? I mean, Virginia, two losses all year, rolled through the ACC, rolled through the ACC tournament, and they couldn't stop UMBC, and it really was. I mean, I know DeAndre Hunter was hurt, and he's a big part of what Virginia does, but there wasn't anyone who saw that one coming.
I'm real curious about, because it's always discussed, well, sports, nobody, it really doesn't do that much for the school. Will you please set the record straight on when nobody really knows about your school and UMBC with what they did? I just saw that their Twitter went from about 5,000 to over 100,000. I mean, it puts your school on the map. Is that right?
Yeah, it absolutely does. It brings name recognition. It brings brand recognition. You know, brands talk about it all the time. They want to be recognized. Schools want to be recognized, too. They want to be recognized for good things. And, I think when you look at especially the UMBC Athletics Twitter account, it's certainly the gold standard for that idea because it was good. They embraced the moment. Zach, I forget his last name, but he's the kid who was in charge of that. And, yeah, went from 5,500 followers. The last time I looked, it was like 110,000 followers. It was great. It embraced the moment.
Yeah.
You read that Twitter feed and you thought, yes. This is what's happening. So, yeah, it's great, and it's been good to see. And I think, the smart schools, the ones that have done a good job with embracing the moment, are also the ones that make sure that turns into future success, and that helps the school long-term. It helps the basketball program long-term.
Ryan Fagan from the Sporting News joining us. He'll be making his way from Charlotte all the way out to L.A., and you'll see, I think, maybe a couple of good Sweet 16 matchups. Take us in what you expect to see in game number one. It'll be Michigan against upstart Texas A&M, a very talented A&M team. Finally puts it together at the end of the season. And then Gonzaga against Florida State. What are your expectations for those two?
Well, Texas A&M was here in Charlotte, too, playing against number two seed North Carolina, which I guess the Tar Heels fell victim to the Fagan jinx, too.
Yes.
I'll throw this number out there real quick. I have seen seven number two seeds play on the opening weekend of the tournament. Seven number two seeds.
Uh-huh.
Six of them failed to make it through the weekend. Six of them lost either game one or game two. And the only one that survived was San Diego State, and they needed double overtime to get through that weekend. So really, North Carolina didn't stand much of a chance. But what really happened is Texas A&M is so big, and North Carolina just didn't have the size to compete with that, not just rebounding. I think North Carolina, their offensive rebounding percentage was like 17%, which is by far their lowest of the year. But they dominated. Tyler Davis dominated. Robert Williams gets all the highlights and headlines because of his dunking ability and his NBA future, which are both very, very, very high. But, Tyler Davis is just one of those consistent big men that you need to have in the NCAA tournament. And he's going to be a load for Michigan. I mean, they're playing the Wolverines, and the Wolverines have Mo Wagner, and he's a great big, and he's going to try to extend them, and because he can shoot from three, so that's going to be interesting. But, I mean, if we're being honest, Michigan played okay in those first two games, and they survived, which is the goal. They didn't play like they did in the Big Ten tournament. They need to, Wagner needs to be better. They need to get more scoring from more different options if they're going to compete against Texas A&M, because we've seen what A&M can be, and they've had an up-and-down season. They had suspensions. They had injuries. They didn't know what they were at times this year. Now they know what they are. They're a team that builds off Davis in the post and Williams in the post, and then they have guards like T.J. Starks and Admon Gilder, guys that can knock down threes. D.J. Hogg is a 6'9" wing who can knock down threes and go inside. So they really have the pieces right now. And to be honest with you, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Texas A&M come out of that region and make it to the Final Four.
Take me quickly then to Purdue. My partner here, Trent, had a great statement yesterday where he said, it's a great engineering school. They should have those. He said this yesterday. They should have those guys figure something out so Haas can play. That's exactly what they're doing. Yes. You've watched them. I've watched them. The kid can play. How important is it if they can get him back?
I mean, it would be huge, obviously. You know, Isaac Haas is something you don't see very often in college basketball. I mean, he's not just a guy that's taller than 7 foot, but he's a skilled guy. He, you know, and it's taken, every Purdue fan will tell you, it's taken him a while to get to the point that he is in his career. He's had his ups and downs, and Purdue fans have been frustrated with what was perceived as slow development. But the player that Haas has been this season is a big man you just can't do anything with. You know, and obviously, when he's out, that's a big blow. That's something that, you know, they would love to get him back. Yeah, if any school can come up with something, it's the students at Purdue, I would imagine. But yeah, that's going to be a big part of it, because I mean, if they're going to, you know, not even talking about, you know, Villanova, but if they're going to get past Texas Tech, they can't play the way they did down the stretch against Butler, because they won't win that game.
So, Ryan, you're looking good in your brackets. You're feeling good. Do you want to make any changes, or are you just going to stick with what you had originally, Nova Gonzaga?
You got to stay consistent. So I'm going to stick with Nova Gonzaga, because I mean, I think you look at Gonzaga, and they didn't, like I said about Michigan, they survived, but they didn't look great. You know, and I think Gonzaga's a better team than what they showed in the first two games. I still think they have the pieces to make that run. You know, I mean, and plus we've all learned not to bet against Mark Few in the NCAA tournament. You know, what he's done in his 19 years at Gonzaga has really just been amazing. Getting to the tournament every year, last year getting to the title game, and they lost so much talent from last year's team. So the fact that they're back in this position, you know, in a good spot. I mean, I think Florida State is a challenge, but I think that the Zags should be able to handle them and get right in there.
Always good, pal, when we have a chance to catch up with you. Have a safe trip to Los Angeles and enjoy the hoops, okay?
Will do. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Great conversation as always. Ryan Fagan from the Sporting News on college basketball. Trent, you were like way ahead of everybody else with your thought process on Purdue and the engineering students coming up with a brace for Isaac Haas.
Well, you knew they had to be working on something, right? And if there's ever a school to do it, it's got to be Purdue. So they're in good shape, maybe. You think he's going to play?
I got news for you. He's a tough guy. If there's anything they can put on that arm, he'll play. I just know he will. It's just going to be, will the NCAA approve the brace?
Well, Purdue is working hard at it. Working hard next, it's the Hawkeye Huddle. Dave Creighton Jr., Brett Ridge will be in an hour of Hawkeye talk. A lot of defections coming your way next.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness. Give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
If you're a small business owner, you know how important it is to keep good records. We can help. Hi, this is Mike Hammond, owner of Advantage Financial and Tax Services, located in West Des Moines. Bookkeeping, payroll, sales tax reporting, as well as income taxes. Everything you need to be successful in running your business. We are not a chain and offer local and personalized service. You do what you do best and let us do the rest. Visit AdvantageIowa.com or call 440-1133. Advantage Financial and Tax Services, located in West Des Moines.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Sponsored by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire.
You check things all the time, like your email every 10 seconds, or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And checking your score won't hurt your credit. We call it the Discover Credit Scorecard. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Check your credit. Compare your card. Go to discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply.
Napa Know How.
Does your car pass the most scientific method of inspection ever? The smell test? If not, Napa has select cabin air filters for 25% off, which will help keep your car smelling great. Because after all, just because it's invisible to the eye doesn't mean it's invisible to the nose. Cabin air filters, now 25% off. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 3/31/18.
Hi, I'm Baron Geiger, president of Caring Hands in Altoona. Is winter wearing on you? Are you ready for the sights and smells of spring? Do you enjoy walking or running and like the idea of meeting the needs of others in your community? If so, we've got a great opportunity for you. On April 7th, Caring Hands Food Pantry and Clothes Closet will be hosting its annual Springtime Hill Climb 5K 10K race. Starting in Doan's Park, the Springtime Hill Climb lets you breathe in the fresh air as you walk or run down the beautiful streets and trails of Pleasant Hill. The Springtime Hill Climb is for everyone, whether you're a new runner looking for a challenging 5K, a long-distance runner looking for a 10K training challenge to prepare for other races coming up, or just want to enjoy a walk through the community to support our fight against hunger here in Polk County. What do you think? Interested in registering for the race or being one of our many local sponsors? Just go to our website, www.caringhands.org. We'll see you on April 7th.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.